As we embark on today's message, heartache is the title. Let's begin with a prayer to God. Loving Father, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, thank you so very much for our life, for the blessings that you give us every day. So often in this time right now with all of the turmoil, it's so easy to forget how vital you are and how much you are doing. And we just thank you and praise you. We thank you for the harmony that you have created in us, the ability to work together. Thank you for that. And today, as we begin this message, God, you change the words if they need to be changed. You speak the words that you want each one of us to hear. And God, that we can hear and take to heart what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The concept of heartache, as Lisa was reading this, without the words in front of you, sometimes that's easy to miss. But in verse 2, he was talking about, in a different translation than she used, but one that I'm referring to right now is the Holman Christian Standard Bible, is in verse 2, that I have intense sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. Heartache. And I got to think, you know, anguish in my heart. What was he talking about? I mean, as I, those five verses, they go by rather quickly, but what was he referencing? Anguish is a severe mental or physical pain or suffering, to be extremely distressed about something. So Paul was suffering, whether it was physical pain, but he was extremely stressed. And the question that I pose to you, have you experienced your heart hurting because of being distressed about something? Have you had something happen in your life where it just hurts? I know a number of years ago, I had someone that I trusted very much turn on me. And literally, it felt like someone was taking a knife and stabbing me right through the heart. It hurt that bad. And the thing about it is, it lingers on. It doesn't just happen and then it goes away. It's something that is extremely distressful and it just lingers. And I think Paul, as he was talking about these verses, and we're going to expand on them, but he's hurting. Something is really impacting him. And again, I pose the question, have you had a similar experience? Or have you had the same experience that someone is going through, a friend, a family member, a coworker? Have you experienced the same thing that they're going through? Maybe it's a loss. Maybe it's an injury. Maybe it's a friendship. And as we come through, and certainly it happens a lot of time when someone loses a family member, people come up and they express sympathy. A sympathetic statement that sounds good in theory, but rarely do they help the other person. And a few of those, and I just ask yourself if you have expressed these. And with all good intentions and very personable, but some of them go as, everything happens for a reason. This too shall pass. Just look on the bright side. God has a plan. I know how you feel. And I'm sure the person is going, really? You really know how I feel? Another one, he's in a better place now. Whether it's true or not, those words really don't help a lot. This could be a blessing in disguise, or something is better around the corner. And I've been guilty of those, and with good intentions, trying to encourage someone, and I'm sure that it felt insensitive in some ways. Sympathy is a wonderful thing, but this is not what Paul was talking about in this text. He wasn't expressing sympathy. He was expressing empathy. What's the difference? Empathy is connecting with the other person's pain and trying to understand how he or she might be feeling. So we're going to go back to this text of Romans 9, 1 through 5, and I'm going to go through it with a Passion Translation, and we're going to talk about some of the points of this. The heading is Paul's love for the Jewish people. O Israel, my Jewish family, I feel such great sorrow and heartache for you that never leaves me. This is how Paul is beginning this section in chapter 9. God knows these deep feelings within me as I long for you to come to faith in the Anointed One. My conscience will not let me speak anything but truth. Beginning in verse 3, for my grief is so intense that I wish that I would be accursed, cut off from the Messiah, if it would mean that you, my people, would come to faith in him. You Israelites, my fellow citizens and God's chosen people, to you belong God's glorious presence, the covenants, the Torah, the temple with its required sacrifices, and the promises of God. In verse 5, we trace our beginnings back to the patriarchs, and through their bloodline is the genealogy of the Messiah, who is God over everything. May he be praised through endless ages. Paul begins in verse 1, my Jewish family. This is his lineage. This is his roots. These are his DNA is embedded in this Jewish family. He is connected with his family, and they have rejected Jesus, and rejection hurts. Define rejection in your world, and you understand it hurts. His heartache is real. I am not lying. He reinforces the words. He is telling us the truth, as God is my witness. Paul wants his family to come to faith in Jesus. That's his focus. He wants everyone around, the entirety of his Jewish family, to accept Jesus and to love and know what that means. In verse 3, Paul states, I wish that I could be accursed, cut off from the Messiah, if it would mean that you, my people, would come to faith. And I thought, would I trade places if it was possible for me to do that? The whole point of this verse, Paul is pointing everything back to Jesus, because Jesus did do exactly that. He shows that he took our place. And that's what Paul was referencing back to, is that Jesus interceded for us. No, Paul knows his salvation in Christ is secure. It's as much an anguish he feels over his unbelieving family. He knows that Jesus came and Jesus made the way. And he knows that even if he could take the place, it would not be the same, because he could not displace everything that Jesus did. But he puts himself all in. What does all in mean to you? When you think of Jesus Christ, what does all in mean? Have you ever watched someone waste their life? You know, alcohol, drugs, addiction, sex, gambling. Those have just swallowed a person up. Maybe a tremendous athlete that has just been gifted by God in the ability to perform in the sport that they've chosen, and they're just so gifted, but you've watched them burn themselves up. Maybe someone who is highly intelligent, but they don't make very wise decisions. Someone that has a beautiful voice. You could listen to them sing by the hour, and it just is so mesmerizing. It's so wonderful. And yet, they haven't taken care of themselves. They've burned themselves up. Maybe someone who has inherited wealth, and I thought immediately of the prodigal son story in Luke 15, 11 through 32. He inherited wealth and he burned completely through it. The other one that comes to mind, and it's the result of the studies, the men and women studies that are going on in their small group, Solomon, who was gifted to be the wisest man, and yet he made some incredibly poor choices. Picking back up in Romans 9, verses 4 through 5, Paul lists 8 unique privileges as God's chosen nation. These are gifts that God gave to Israel. The adoption of sons, the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, the promises, the patriarchs, the human ancestry of Jesus Christ, all comes through Israel. But Paul is hurting. He is grieving because Israel, the Jewish people, rejected Jesus Christ. And they rejected Jesus because he didn't come the way they thought he should. He didn't come to save them from the Roman Empire, to overthrow that. So they rejected him as the Messiah. Jesus didn't fit what they expected. How about you? Does Jesus fit in your world? Do you have a box that Jesus is kept in? And that's the only place that he fits. Paul grieved for his Jewish family. He knew them and was willing to give himself for them. He knew that even as he said, if I could take the place, he was willing to do it. But he knew Jesus had already done that. Where are you with those around you who are hurting? Whether it's a family member, a coworker, a church member, your neighbor, and they're living a day-to-day life, one without hope. This life is all they know, and that's all the future they know. How do you react around these people? Do you even know that they're hurting? Do you understand? Is there empathy on your part for them? We hurt because they are stuck. We grieve for their unbelief. We cry because they don't know their Abba, Father. We watch these individuals make the same mistakes over and over and over. And you're thinking to yourself, if they only knew Jesus, if they only knew what he could do for them in their life. What do you do with that? Accept others where they are, even if it's not a comfortable place. Accept who they are and where they are, even as you lovingly encourage them to reflect on God's love for all. Maybe they don't want to hear it, but maybe they do. Are we willing to step outside of ourselves and give that loving encouragement to reflect on God's love for all? Have you done this? I know some on this screen that have, and I'm not judging and I'm not saying everybody is the same. But you, each one of you, as you see all the faces on the screen, can be an encouragement. You can be that light. Ask God to help you see others as he sees them. What a wonderful world this would be if everyone saw one another through the eyes and the lens of Jesus Christ. The love that comes, if you've had and you've looked into the eyes of someone that you love dearly and they love you, you can see that love just flow right through the eyes. The eyes don't lie. The eyes share. As Jesus sees people, you got to believe, you have to know that that love is so prevalent. You know, as we go through our life, we're all in this together. When one of us cries, we really all cry, whether we show it or not. Many people hide behind a mask, and I'm not talking a COVID world mask. I'm talking about a mask and a wall that they've built. You know, an interesting story that kind of came through this in the Revised Common Lectionary is talking about babies. And it was talking about in a movie industry, how do they get a baby to cry on cue? And how do they get the babies to stop on cue? And they actually have people that is their job. And it's not to pinch the baby to get it to cry. The individual starts to cry. And when the baby hears the adult crying, they start crying. And if you've been with multiple babies, when one cries, pretty soon you have a whole room full of them crying. But when you can console and get the one to stop, and you stop crying, and you mirror or give that image, pretty soon the room is quiet because it's okay now. When one cries, we all cry. When someone is hurting, we hurt with them. We may not know how to react to them, but we have the empathy. That is something that God has gifted each person with, the ability to feel compassion and empathy for someone. Empathy, which is based on the love Christ gives us for others, it is the answer. Now I'm going to read a section out of Matthew. It's out of the Gospels. We're going to talk a little bit, and again, it's a little reading today, but hang in there. Matthew 14, verses 13 through 21 in the Passion Translation, and the heading is Jesus Feeds the Multitude. On hearing this, Jesus slipped away privately by boat to be alone. But when the crowds discovered he had sailed away, they emerged from all the nearby towns and followed him on foot. So when Jesus landed, he had a huge crowd waiting for him. Seeing so many people, his heart was deeply moved with compassion. Compassion is a synonym of empathy, so they can interchange. His heart was deeply moved with compassion toward them. So he healed all the sick who were in the crowd. Later that afternoon, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "It's going to be dark soon, and the people are hungry, for there's nothing to eat here in this desolate place. You should send the crowds away to the nearby villages to buy themselves some food." Jesus responded, "They don't need to leave. You give them something to eat." They answered, "But all we have is 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." Jesus responded, "Let me have them." Then he had everyone sit down on the grass. As he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up into heaven, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread into pieces. He then gave it to his disciples, who in turn gave it to the crowds. And everyone ate until they were satisfied, for the food was multiplied in front of their eyes. They picked up the leftovers and filled 12 baskets. There were about 5,000 men who were fed, in addition to many women and children. Jesus recognized and met their physical needs. He responded to the people. And in their need, what was the first thing he did? He looked into heaven and gave thanks to God and broke the bread. So when we're in a situation where we're around people and they're hurting and we can empathize and feel the compassion for them, do we immediately take them to God the Father to include Jesus in whatever reaction you have? in whatever statement or behavior that you have, do you take that to God first? When you see a situation, is your first response, unless it's an out-and-out emergency, your first response is to include God in the equation. If we really have the same heart for other people like Apostle Paul had for the Jews, like Jesus has for us, we will acknowledge it's not them and us. It's just us. So we love people. We accept people. We encourage people. And we trust the Holy Spirit to work in all of our lives. Do you look for ways to participate with Jesus? Ways to engage or encourage or support others through the lead of the Holy Spirit? That's what these verses that Paul was talking about. He understood the empathy that Christ has. And we have been given a gift. And that gift is to participate with Jesus Christ. Always include Jesus in every situation as he loves each and every one of us. I'd like to thank you today for joining with us. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to us. We can be connected at our website at gcderby.org. Or on our Facebook page at Grace Communion Derby. And we pray that you have a very blessed week. Amen.